ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Two Dimension Comics, a podcast with no direction. This is episode number 24. I am your host, Dallas Busha, and today joining us is...
Don.
Rook.
Biff.
And once again, joining us, just like last episode, is Hash Brown. He's gonna get in on some. He's gonna get on some Walking Dead talk.
We'll see if we can actually get him to talk this time.
Well, you gotta watch out for me sometimes, because if you get me talking, I just don't shut up sometimes.
That's all right. That's what we need. We need filler because I got nothing this episode.
Back, you can tell us your story.
No, actually, well, what we did want to talk about is Rook. You brought it up. Let's talk some Walking Dead.
Yes. Let's get some dead talk in here.
Yeah, specifically now, by the time you folks are hearing this, there's probably been another episode or two out. But we're specifically going to talk about the episode. What's the name of the episode? The one after Nebraska.
You're asking me names of episodes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Really, dude? I can tell you what happened in the episode. I can't tell you the names.
So basically, I didn't know they had names.
It's the second episode after the mid-season premiere.
Yes.
And it is the episode, spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, it's the episode where Rick, Glenn, and Herschel confront some of the others out of the group of the two dudes that they killed in the bar.
Yes.
Did I explain that well enough? I don't know. That sounded kind
of
fucked up.
Well, if you saw the premiere of the second part of the second season, you obviously saw Rick become more of a badass and simply take out two guys that he knew were going to be a problem.
Yeah, he put it underlined under his title of team leader, basically.
Yeah.
You know, put
a
period at the end.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, two exclamation points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just kind of, you know, saying, I'm in charge, bitch.
Yeah, like, I'll F you up, you know, if you come into contact with, you know, if you threaten my family and my team, you know, we will take you out. And so he ended up killing two guys, you know.
Yep. And so this episode we pick up where Rick has, you know, the three of them are going to leave the bar, and, oh, surprise, guess what? These two idiots weren't alone. Shocking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from there, it gets real interesting as, you know, you see Rick suddenly in a position of, well, now I have to shoot my way out.
They took an interesting stance, I think, on this episode, the director did, as far as not showing these three, four humans, these guys that are outside of the bar trying to get in and trying to kill Rick and Glenn and Herschel. You know, you never really clearly see these guys.
No.
So you know they're out there, you're hearing their voices, but you don't know where they're at. Even when Rick, Glenn, and Herschel get outside and come into contact with the guys, it's so dark out, you never really clearly see them. So it's really neat. You feel for the main characters, you're in their shoes because they can't see their opposition, you can't see the opposition, so you feel for them, you feel like you're there with them, and it just raises the tension, you know, it just raises the bar. And it gets even worse when zombies enter the mix.
It was like Western almost.
It really is kind of a Western feel to it, where, you know, your hero characters are in a position of shooting their way out, and there's no real telling how many guys are out there. And that was one of the interesting points, is, you know, Dallas stated three, four guys out there, but really there was no telling how many guys were out there.
Well, when he shot the two guys, it was kind of Clint Eastwood, you know. He's got the guy in the front, all of a sudden the guy in the
back. Yeah, it was just a nice little showdown. That whole scene was building tension the entire time.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it just happened. And you're right, it was kind of like
Western.
It was Western
influence, yeah, no doubt.
I was really glad the guy with the shotgun was a little messed up, I would say, because if had he just been a little quicker, you know, Rick would have been a goner.
Yeah, he was definitely, you're right, too, and the guy, they had kind of hinted that he might be drunk.
Yeah.
Well, I think it also goes to show to Rick's character as well that, you know, what you're dealing with here is you're dealing with general population people, you know. Not everyone out there knows how to handle a firearm.
Right.
When you're coming up against someone like the character of Rick, who is a police officer and he's trained with firearms, he's going to be shoot the guy in the front, shoot the guy in the back before either one of them can react.
That's right.
And it's going to happen like that.
But also his training of making split decisions in the middle of, you know, something as crucial as this, and, you know, don't think about it, don't worry about the repercussions, just do what's necessary. Mm-hmm. The same thing he did with Sophia in the mid-season finale, you know.
Yep.
He was the only one that could do that because he knew it was necessary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's, once again, that's just proving that he's the leader that the team needs, you know, and, you know, he's just...
Well, he's going to have a run-in with that other guy.
Shane?
With Shane? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's actually... Well, this is a Saturday right now, everybody. So tomorrow night... I believe tomorrow night is really going to be the showdown between Shane and Rick. Mm-hmm. And I think we may end up seeing the two of them put into a situation where it's me or him.
I think so, yeah. Especially from the way Lori's been egging Rick on.
Oh, that the end of this episode, how did you like that? With Lori wrapped around Rick, rubbing his shoulders, talking to him, the camera tight... comes in tight on Rick's face.
And he's got crazy eye.
You can just see the inner workings in that mind going, I'm going to kill this son of a bitch.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And that's
otherwise, he's going to get shot.
Yeah, that's Lori's influence right there, you know. Because
now, Lori, is that the blonde?
That's Rick's wife.
No, it's Rick's wife.
Andrea is the blonde. Oh. Andrea is the one that's sympathetic to Shane because she banged him down.
Yeah, which is interesting to see the alterations in the character of Lori that they're doing in the TV series. You know, Lori, or Andrea, god damn, yeah, too many characters.
Thanks, Don.
too many characters. The alterations that they're doing with Andrea as a character, you know, they're doing some character evolution with her that didn't happen in the book. Well, of course, in the book, anybody that has read it, spoiler alert again, Shane's long dead by now. Shane's been gone for quite a while.
He was dead before they got to Herschel's farm.
Right? He was dead before they left Atlanta.
Okay.
Now,
the Dirty South.
Shane never made it out of the camp in Atlanta before he died, and they moved on. So, you know, for Shane to be around as long as he has, you know, you're really starting to see what could have happened in the book if Shane would have been there. I really think this is a very possible series of events happening with Shane that could have happened easily in the book.
I don't think Shane's going anywhere in the book or in the show. I mean, because he's such an integral part of the drama that's in the show.
Absolutely.
So if you lost him, you lose a lot of that tension.
You lose a lot of that tension, but it can be brought in with different characters. You know, different power plays available.
The governor.
You know what? I recently read an article that Kirkman said that he cannot guarantee the governor. He says he will. He wants to put him into the show, but he's not going to guarantee the governor in this season, next season, maybe even fourth season. He's not sure.
I have an update on that. IGN.com, I just read yesterday that they cast the governor for season 3.
In your face, Rook.
Season 3, no kidding. Who did they cast?
I'll pull it up. Just give me a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, this is good. I cannot wait to see who they cast as the governor, because this is interesting. This will throw out some of the theories people have had about Daryl's brother becoming the governor.
That's what I always thought.
Some recent talk, actually, has been Shane as well. I was talking with somebody recently that said they think Shane is going to evolve into the governor. So, yeah, this will be interesting to find out who they finally...
But it wasn't that way in the comic. The comic was a different character.
In the comic book, the governor, at the time, the group was living in a prison. They found a basically abandoned prison. They came across another group of survivors, and things did not go well when they interacted with them. Rick... got his hand chopped off almost immediately by the governor.
Wow.
Another character that they have not introduced into the television series yet, Michelle, she got brutally raped and beaten by him. This guy is just a sadistic, evil son of a bitch.
Well, the actor that they've cast is a British actor named David Morrissey, not to be confused with Morrissey from The Smiths, who could have probably played Sophia. but this guy, David Morrissey, it says he's been in The Reaping and Centurion, if any of you guys have heard of those. I haven't.
The Reaping, but I've heard of.
The Reaping, yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, he'll be appearing in season 3, which has a 16-episode order and begins production in Atlanta in the spring.
Nice.
So yeah, here's a picture of the dude.
Nice. Let's go.
And we'll post that link.
Interesting. Well, looking at him right here, I don't see the governor. I really don't. But, you know. We'll see what they do with makeup and see what they
create.
Plus,
it's all in the acting, and you know that.
Oh, yeah, 100% it's in the acting.
If he's believable, it doesn't matter what the hell he looks like.
Visually, the characters that the people they have cast into these roles so far, they visually fit, you know, as soon as you saw him, you're like, oh my God, that's Rick. Oh my God, that's Shane. That's Andrea. That's Lori. You know, they hit their marks. Even when I first saw the actor that plays Herschel, when he walked out of the house for the first time, it was like, wow. The only person that really didn't fit was Otis. The guy that played Otis was totally different.
See, I didn't read up to Herschel's farm in the comic. I've only read maybe the first 10 issues, if that. So was Otis not a big fat man?
No. When we get a minute,
was he more a Milo?
yeah. There you go.
Anybody get that? Sorry.
no, he was. I don't recall Otis being a big guy at all. Not to mention, Otis, well, of course, didn't die at Shane's hands in the book because Shane was dead by that, like I've said. So, you know, we'll reach over behind Al in a minute, and I'll pull out a book, and I'll show you what Otis was like in the series. So
in the book, as far as some of the other characters, is like Andrea, Lori, they're not still around, are they?
Do we really want to ruin this for people?
That's a good point.
Do you want me to start naming survivors here?
You've made references in the past about it. Now, I'm always surprised at just how completely different it veered off on the show from what the comic was.
Well, you have to understand one thing as well. In the show right now, they are not to the point they are, anywhere near the point they are in the books. I mean, so much crap has happened in the books to these characters. You lose several characters in the prison. Several people die. A lot of people die in the prison. Some characters arrive beforehand. Some characters arrive after. The walkers in the barn is really kind of what drove them out of Herschel's farm to find new grounds.
That actually happened in the comic, the walkers in the barn.
Walkers in the barn absolutely happened in the comic. An interesting fact I think I've mentioned before, someone mentioned to me that Herschel was a religious nut. And I disagree. Herschel was a scientific mind.
Yeah.
He believed there would be a cure. He believed this was a disease and a curable disease. Yes, he is a religious man. Yes, he reads the Bible. But that does not mean you cannot have a scientific mind as well. That man believed there was a cure to this disease.
See, but that's a point that I was talking with Dallas about. It's like if you watch this show and you see what these zombies look like, how the hell could you think there would be a... I don't think there's no coming back from that. But obviously, they could come up with a cure, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my God, we killed all these people, and now there's a cure
exactly.
for them.
But you also have to think about it this way. You're dealing with a man
that's messed up because of everything
that is that he has his wife, his son, friends, family in a barn, and his friends and family, these people were bitten,
and then
infected. These people weren't, not like what Rick saw. One of the first zombies Rick saw was this mauled half torso, and it's still alive.
Yeah, that's right.
So emaciated.
I gotcha.
Herschel's not seen the things that everybody else has.
Gotcha.
So, it was a very powerful moment in the series when Shane starts shooting the zombie, and that's its heart, that's its lungs. Why is it still coming? Why is it still coming?
Because they're looking at them as objects, not as people at that point, right?
At that point, they're just a dangerous object. They're not human beings. They're not, they're an animal to be put down. And that's really what the disease does. It shuts down the human part of them and turns them basically into
ravaging
animals.
So those walkers that were in the barn never went out and ate other people or anything?
You don't really know. They don't really go into the questions of, how did these people end up in the barn?
Yeah, because that's the thing.
It's
not...
How did they end up getting infected?
That wasn't just Herschel's family in there, because they had... Otis had started to just collect any walkers that they would find on Herschel's grounds and then bring them in and put them in the barn. So it started, I'm sure, with their families, with Herschel's wife and everybody. But then once they started finding other ones, because of their experiences with their family, they were sympathetic to the whole zombie idea.
Now, I never read the book, but you talk about the governor. Explain the governor.
Okay, well, I got into it a little bit, but the governor is...
the governator.
The governor is... He is the... Basically, the guy in charge of a... of another... a group of survivors in a town area. They actually recently released a book called The Rise of the Governor, where you got to see, you got to read, and it's not a comic, it's an actual novel. You got to read how he became the governor, you know, the things he had to do in order to become the governor, what kind of stuff happened in his life to turn him into this psychotic son of a bitch. And like I said, he is a sick bastard. One of the first things that the group witnesses in the governor's camp, as you may say, is zombie fights. Two men would enter an arena like gladiators and battle it out, but they were surrounded by zombies on chains. So if you knocked your opponent too close to a zombie, well, he gets bit. So, you know, I mean, this and this guy was, you know, he was basically, you know, creating entertainment and managing his people in that way. So it was really kind of...
I just kind of hope they incorporate that into this series.
Yeah, it will be very interesting. But, you know, we, like I said, there's the whole thing with the prison in the book that happens before the governor. I'm interested to see if they skip the prison. I really think they might. And
yeah, that's before they meet the governor?
The prison is before they meet the governor, because right now the book I'm holding in my hand, Walking Dead Book 2, this is the hardcover, okay? I'm already halfway through the book, and you see no governor yet, okay? So...
Yeah, but they might also just bring it back later. You never know if it's going to be out of order.
Yeah, well, they possibly might. You really don't know. They did meet some very interesting characters in the prison, and some very interesting things happened in the prison. Now, the governor attacks them because they are living in a prison, because they are living in basically what is a more secured area than his. Now, picking up I think it's book three here, this one, Walking Dead book three, this is where you'll find out, this is where they finally meet the governor. They basically, a helicopter crashes and both groups come in contact with this character, the governor, which right there, guys, that's the governor.
He looks like some like 70s like crime fighter.
He's
got a sweet stash.
They should have got to play him. I can't think of his name, but he did Machete.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking too.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, Danny Trejo.
I think Danny Trejo is too like bulky, too big.
That would be really good.
A sick son of a bitch.
He plays some real sick bastards. So
one thing, Hashbrown, do you read? I know you watch the show. Do you ever read the comics?
I haven't. I haven't gotten to steal him from Rook yet.
Yeah.
Rook, I'm looking here. You got three hardbacks of The Walking Dead. Now, do you buy them in the hardbacks? Or I know you read the single issues as well, correct?
Well, basically what happened is I walked into Yancey Street one day. Was talking with the guys over there, and I asked them, I'm trying to find something really good to read. I'm kind of bored with everything I'm reading right now. This was really my start of getting disenfranchised with Marvel. I was just starting to kind of get into DC a little more, but I was really looking for something more, something adult to read, really. And the guy, Steve at the shop, was like, "Well, you know, you're reading Walking Dead, so..." "What? Walking Dead? I'm not reading that." And he just kind of looked at me like, "What the hell are you doing not reading Walking Dead, dumbass?" And he offered me basically a hell of a deal on the book, and said if I didn't like it, I could bring it back and get store credit, full price store credit, for the book. About 2 days later, I walked in, and, you know, I would normally only be there once a week. I walk in 2 days later, and Steve's going, "You're back already?" And all I did was I stuck my middle finger up in the air and went, "You're a dick." Walked over to the bookshelf, picked up the second hardcover, walked up and paid for it. So,
nice.
Yep. A couple days later, book three. A couple days after that, I've got the trades over there as well for the next couple. Within about 2 weeks, I'd say, I caught up to the regular series and was reading single issues.
Do you still buy the hardbacks when they collect those?
No. Yeah. No. For me, once I have the singles, I don't need the hardcover. If I was to decide that, you know, I needed to make space in my collection, I'd probably sell off the single issues. You know, I'd probably put like a bulk package together, sell them off to somebody, and then buy the hardcovers.
Right.
So.
Well, at that, let's take a break, a musical break. Let's do some Primitive Astronauts today.
Beautiful, but it's not an ongoing series.
That's a very
Watchmen
good point.
Was a solo point in time, and it's one story. So I feel for something like that, you have to be true to the material. With something like Walking Dead, as a regular reader, if they were following line for line the story, plot line to plot line, you know, everything that happened in the book, it would be boring.
it's not about the specifics of the story. It's about the fact that these people are here dealing with each other while it's they're dealing with the zombies.
It's the dramatic feel of the whole story.
That's right. And so, so that way, it works. It could work in any medium. I mean, it would make a fantastic movie as well.
I think it would make a good movie, but I don't know that you could really do what's necessary for these characters in a movie. And I think that's what was important, and that's why it was great that they did a television series instead of just a solo movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
that's it. No.
See ya.
There was our musical break, and now we're
And it just jumped back in. So boom. Hash Brown, so you've been watching the show and you don't read the comic, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think of the show? I mean, have you been enjoying it?
I love the show. I love just about everything about it. My main things is I'm a nitpicker of everything. I mean, I just recently watched Robin Hood, and I had to stop it and rewind it because I was like, look, there's Hellboy.
And him and I discovered last night that Hellboy actually makes a cameo in Russell Crowe's Robin Hood.
Ron Perlman?
No, it's...
No, just like a Hellboy-esque-looking character.
Yeah, there's one of the orphan kids has like a face mask, and like as he's looking and directing the other orphans to where they're going, it... Just the silhouette, I mean, it's Hellboy. It has the cut-off horns, it has the face, it has the beard, it's Hellboy.
Nice.
You're just like, that's awesome. But I'm a nitpicker, and like even the last episode, I mean, just the little things, like the dead arm falling off the truck, and her having to go pick it back up, I'm like, something's going to happen, nothing happened, okay.
Yeah, I thought
that's
so too.
What I was thinking
they
too.
Went out of their way to make a point of making that a pretty big scene.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of neat that they threw that in there just for the hell of it.
I did too.
And it's just, it's the little things like that that, you know, just, it makes the series because, you know, it's, don't grab that arm. Oh, wait, she's just picking up a dead arm.
Yeah, okay. There you go, though, and even especially in episode one, but throughout all the episodes, including that one, there's all these false starts. You think there's going to be zombies, you think something's going to happen, but it never does. So that makes you always on edge.
Oh, well, and that's one of the great points about this series is that, you know, you have to feel on edge. You have to feel uncomfortable. The world has gone to hell. You know, at any given moment, a walker could rise up and bite your face off.
That's right.
So, you know,
rule number two, double tap.
Anybody who didn't get that joke, go watch Zombieland.
Well, yeah, I don't read the comic book either. I just watch the show now.
Are you going to bag on the show now?
No, I'm not.
Okay. How are you feeling? Are you enjoying the direction? Have you seen
the
most recent episodes?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Where that kid falls out at the end, the kid that was on the roof falls.
Oh yeah, how
the
you
spike.
Feel?
Rough, man. That
how
is
that? Rick under fire again, and he just gives Herschel the knife. So can this cut their bone?
Like, let's take a show survey. Who would have saved the kid? Who would have shot him?
Shot him.
I wouldn't have even bothered wasting the bullet. I would have just left him there.
I would have put him out of his misery.
No,
I would have, too.
I'm a little more heartless. I just would have been like, dude, you were trying to kill me 5 seconds ago. Screw you.
and they're bringing him back for what? To let him loose again?
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's what some would probably like some say Rick's character flaw, you know?
Yeah. Well, Rick feels like he can save everybody and he can help everybody.
There it is.
You know?
Which is cool.
You know, so part of me really agrees with Shane that, you know, just leave the kid. Screw him.
Well, that's the cool part. That's where the tension comes from, is you can sympathize with both sides, with Shane's side and with Rick's side.
And in any group dynamic, I mean, you almost need those two polar opposites. I mean, it's good to find the middle ground sometimes, but sometimes you need the Shane of just put a bullet in his head, walk away, we're done, issue's over.
So who's the Shane of the group here?
Rook.
Yeah.
I'm the heartless bastard. Thanks, guys. Y'all get out of my house.
Comes with the bloodline.
So they're going to save this kid, and then he's going to add to the dynamic of the group because they say they're going to get rid of him, but I don't know if they are or not. You don't know if they are.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the things that I would think. You know, we already have this many mouths to feed. Now you're bringing this wounded asshole in who... not 5 minutes before was trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And you not only want to save him, but, you know, you want to feed him.
But he was doing the same thing that Rick would have done. He was watching out for his team, for his family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He wasn't... You don't know if he was just some bloodthirsty punk that was going out intentionally trying to kill them. He might have just come with those other two guys because they forced him to. You don't know his story yet.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, guilt by association. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but if I was in a group of survivors like the ones in the series, that kid is guilty by association. And I'm sorry that happened to him, but he's guilty by association. I cannot allow what ifs to change my chances of survival.
So you went to rip his leg off the top of the fence like that?
No, like I said, I seriously would have left the kid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even bothered to run over there. I would have gotten in my truck, gotten my guys, and gotten the hell out of town.
Well, let me throw a hypothetical at you. Hypothetically, let's say we're in that situation, and you're faced with that decision, and you have either the Rick attitude or the Shane attitude. But if you look at the big picture of everything, if you're just literally just going around, and it's your group, only your group, your small group, and everyone else can pretty much just go to hell, how is that going to affect not only humanity in the long run, but your own sanity?
Well, no, I'm not saying screw everybody else, but I'm definitely going to say screw a group that's you know, first, my first impressions is the two idiots in the bar, okay, who are basically telling me they're coming to the farm whether I like it or not.
Yeah,
yeah, they're kind of a bad spokesperson.
And then my second impression is, you know, I try and be honest and tell you, look, your boys are dead, they drew guns on us, I did what I had to do, you know. You answer their question honestly, and the guys outside even said to them, if they're dead, just tell us, we need to know.
Yeah, but if you were the guys outside and you heard, oh yeah, we just killed your guys, you know, they tried to attack us, that even though you might believe that, you're still going to be pissed.
I'm still going to be pissed, yes, but...
You're not going to walk away.
Rick told them exactly what happened, and they said they just need to know. So I tell you what you needed to know. You know, let's all walk away. Let's all be done with it. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. Done.
So now you're being a politician. You're flip-flopping. First you say you're Shane.
Now you're going more for the Rick
attitude?
What I'm saying is, in the situation Rick was in, inside the bar, the guys tell me, we just want to know what happened to them. Have you seen them? I answer you honestly. I tell you they're dead, you know, and then you start firing at me. So my first two impressions of this group are all bad. So that group can kiss my ass. I'm not helping them. So, you know, because quite frankly, at this point, I figure that group of survivors is a bunch of punk asses.
That's how I took it, too. Does that answer your question well, or do you disagree, Ash Brown?
It answers it. I may or may not disagree.
Who's the politician now?
Yeah, really. Wow, way to answer without answering there, buddy.
Just saying. Oh,
no, that's how I took it, too. And one thing I kept thinking about was Herschel. He's the vet, correct? You know, how he was constantly wanting him off the property. When all this stuff happened, he went to the bar. He was falling apart. And how they changed everything. When Rick showed up at the bar and was talking to him, these other two guys came in. Herschel, to me, subtly started looking like he's thanking God for the fact that these guys showed up first at his farm, you know, and all of a sudden these guys, to me, that just took them as takers. The guy was coming in, kind of playing games, trying to find out where it was. They were going to go to the farm. And since then, it's just been lawlessness. You got guys all over the place with guns on roofs, you know, trying to take them out. And I just, you know, after that, Herschel's completely on Rick's side, like, let's do this, let's take care of that. So, I don't know. I just found that really interesting.
Yeah, well, a conflict like that will usually do that to you, you know? They're like blood brothers, you know? They've been in this thing together. So, yeah. You know, yeah, Herschel's always going
to
be on Rick's
side.
Like
you said, Herschel now has a realization to himself that he understands, damn, I'm lucky that Rick and his group found my farm first. You know, these other animals could have found it, and they could have come in, they could have shot Herschel and Otis and the other guy. And just taking all the girls as
exactly
whatever they wanted, slaves, raped them, killed them.
That's right.
You know, I mean, have you ever seen the movie Zombie Diaries?
No.
No.
Okay, excellent movie. Shot shot via like handheld cameras, okay? Beautifully done, where in the end you find out one of these guys that you think is a really nice guy is a psychotic bastard. He's basically got a zombie, a girl zombie, tied up in a barn that he's been beating and raping. And the girl zombie actually ends up being one of the girls from the group. So he basically kidnapped this girl, beat her, raped her, killed her, and then after she turned into a zombie, kept doing it.
Is this a newer movie?
It's a few years old now. I actually have it if you want to borrow it. The first one's great. The second one sucks ass. So, you know.
No, and that kid that they saved, he'll be possibly a tie-in to other groups of human beings that are like around or whatever. They could get either information out of him or false information out of him or a connection with the governor.
I mean, for an information standpoint, yes, this kid is great. You know. I would probably groan for information,
yeah.
You know, find out what I need to know. But past that, I don't really know that I'd help this kid.
Well, they're probably gonna lose people. Like the, you know, this somebody's gonna leave the group, I'm sure, at some point.
It's been a while since one of the main characters has died, besides Sophia. So
yeah.
I'm just, you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think the death of Sophia was so powerful to the group. I don't think you're gonna see very many people die until the season finale.
I see more of a separation.
That's what I'm talking about, Shane or whatever, leading the group.
Yeah, Shane.
Maybe that girl, the blonde girl.
Shane, Andrea.
Andrea's definitely with Shane.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Shane, yeah, she's definitely team
where
Shane.
Does,
right
where does T-Dog stand?
Crazy?
T-Dog?
Underutilized?
Yeah, T-Dog, it's interesting to see. Because, see, T-Dog seems to me to represent a character, Tyrese, that shows up in the book. Who actually showed up after the loss of Shane and basically becomes the Shane-like replacement for Rick. You know, Rick needs that buddy, that best friend to hang out
but
with.
But not an adversary like Shane's become on the
not
show.
Not an adversary like
just
Shane.
Just a friend.
Tyrese becomes that person and that Rick needed at that time. Another guy, another man that is able to take the burden of the group. And that's what I think T-Dog is supposed to be, the Tyrese character from the books, or some form of him, which really is disappointing because they really don't use him well enough.
You've got to remember, though, it's only the second season, so, I mean, there will be plenty of time. Maybe he'll have his time to shine.
Yeah.
Okay, then here's one that might be a little easier to answer, maybe not. Where would Daryl stand?
Oh, come on, Daryl's just a badass, man.
Yeah, no, where would he stand, Shane's team or Rick's team? I mean, who, if he had to choose and not go off on his own, if he had to choose, whose team would he be with?
I don't think he'd make the choice. I think he'd just straight go on his own.
That's what I would
say. Yeah, I think if it comes to a group separation like that and people are going, well, you got to come with me. No, you got to come with me. He's just going to be like, screw all you guys. I'm out.
I have a tent.
Yeah, I have a tent and a necklace made of zombie earrings.
Yeah.
And what about that lady's baby? Who is the father?
Oh, Lori's baby?
Yeah. Lori's baby?
Remember when she said to Rick, you know, no matter what, it's yours. So even if it is Shane's baby, Rick's the father.
That's another story.
But that's a good question,
there.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Just look, just check the baby's nose when it's born. You'll be able to tell if it's Shane or Rick.
It's got that big honker nose, you know.
And we're going to have to shave some of that off.
Yeah. And, and the good thing is it's kind of like in the tie into the comic book, so it could bring people into the comic book stores looking for books, which kind of revives, you know, the industry. Because if they watch the show and they go, it's based on the comic book. Oh, really? Let me go buy some comics. Maybe these are, you know, good. Maybe I'll find something else, and that's always important.
You know, here's a question for you guys. Do you think they do enough to tell people that this is a
no.
comic book
no.
and it's
no.
a current running comic
no,
book?
They don't.
The only reason, the only, I might say maybe on The Talking Dead, I don't watch The Talking Dead, but since Robert Kirkman's on there,
show,
I would assume that it's implied or at least hopefully spoken about. That
and then they
the
have
comic
book men right on afterwards.
Yeah.
So.
See, I really don't think they do enough for the other, for the comic book. To tell you that it is a book, it is currently, it's, you know, this book is running right now. You can go out to the shelf and pick it up right now. You know, I don't think they do enough of that on the TV show.
I would agree with you.
I would at least advertise.
Well, do they really do that with these comic book movies?
Well, they complained about Iron Man, same thing, that they didn't say Iron Man is published by Marvel Comics.
I guess they're assuming, but you know, don't be assuming too much.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, you know what
I mean, at least at the end, at the end or midpoint in the episode, like, you know, do a little like a little picture of, you know, I mean, like, just take 3 books, fan them, you know, show them, and see your local comic book shop for more on Walking Dead.
Now, when it says in the very beginning of Walking Dead, when it has the beginning credits and it says based on so-and-so by, you know, Robert Kirkman, Charlie Adler, Tony Moore, does it say based on the comic book series or what does it say there?
Good question. I don't know.
I don't remember either, but it might say there.
Honestly, I think what people would do if they were interested, they'd either look it up on an online seller or they'd go in the bookstore and get a collection.
Well, there's in our neck of the woods, Don, there's commercials for the comic shop. And,
Well, hopefully, too, if you're going to Google Walking Dead, hopefully a lot of that is the comic books.
Yeah, right. I would hope.
I'm sure the first entry is going to be the TV series.
Well, it's a mix. You see, it's intermixed. But the other thing is, I think a lot of regular people won't go to a comic store. My wife made a comment. You know, she goes to stores with me at times, and especially when we're on vacation, I always hit the stores. And we went to one that it was kind of an odd store. It was nice. They had a lot of comics and collections, but they also had Hello Kitty stuff. You know, and it was brightly lit. The guy that ran the store was nice. He had nice music playing. And my wife said, that was really nice. It was nice music, nice stuff. And then she's, you know, was talking about the other stores we went into. And all I think of is that movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he goes in the magic shop. You know, he goes in the magic shop.
Yeah.
And I heard Tim Burton and Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Herman, was talking about that really brought about the creepiness of magic shops, you know. Well, you know, people like us, that's okay, but, you know, normal people don't like that.
Yeah, but
well, comic shops have that
comic
stigma.
Shops have been around forever.
Yeah.
They've got to be part of the American culture at this point, even though whatever the negative, you know.
Well, but it's always a fringe thing. I mean, it's never been a mass thing.
Yeah, it's always been outside of the main. It is almost like a counterculture.
Well, Pat was talking when he was over by Winn-Dixie, you know, back in the early 90s or late 80s. He was talking about sometimes there'd be kids. They'd walk by and a kid, you know, the mother was going to the store, and the kids would be pointing, wanting to go in, and the mom would say, oh, no, don't go in there. That's a bad place. You know, he'd get upset because you needed customers, but that's the stigma, you know. So.
Well, going back to when I worked at a store, a lot of kids had to come in with their parents because they didn't have the money to buy the book.
Right, right.
So a lot of it had to do with that. But, I mean, I don't know. Comic book shops have been around, like I said, for so long. It's like you got to know what it's all about. Whatever stigma it is. You know, like you're right. Some people won't go in there. But, I mean, a lot of the comic stores that we go to have outlasted Borders books. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say that Yancey Street is not like that at all.
No,
it's
that's
a nice
not
place.
At all.
It's, you know, friendly.
Well, I think the difference with Yancey is the fact that they're actually in a mall.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you're getting a different clientele. You're getting people that are walking by that are just going
to
go
not
in.
Not only
there.
That, but Steve is Steve's careful about the people that he hires. You know, sometimes the people that he hires, they have no clue about comic books. But you know what? The guys educate them. They make sure that whoever is working there, if they don't know comics, they will by the time they're done with them.
But being that they don't know comics, they might draw in a completely different crowd, which is great for the medium.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So, you know, I mean.
And Dallas, you worked at a comic shop too.
I did, yeah. That was fun. Oh, Wonder Water with Fast Eddie.
Yeah.
That was good times. What was that all about?
Wonder Water.
I know, I was never a fan. The best part of that job, Tuesdays, was New Comic Day. And Wonder Water had 5 shops. And the warehouse was probably about 20, 30 minutes away from the store that I worked at, so I would have to go to the warehouse, which is also the main store of Wonder Water. And me and a couple other people would sort out all the books and say, you know, well, X amount of copies goes to store number 1, X amount goes to store number 3. And then I would just pack them all up in my car and drive around all the stores and just drop them all off. And it was really neat. It was really fun to just be immersed in that. But, yeah, some of the clientele there didn't really help that the comic book stigma, you know?
You know, one thing about that store, they had one up in St. Pete, you know, not far from the house. I went in a few times. I thought that was odd. It had, you know, the comic book stuff in the windows. That's a comic store. And I thought, Wonder Water, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right.
And I go in, and they had 4 stalls. They sold, you know, water.
Probably the worst combination in the history of man. But they're selling water and paper.
Comics.
Yeah.
That made absolutely no sense to me. And then I see people come in with jugs and put them in these things, put the quarters in.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I used to have to run that little section. It was kind of a self-help kind of thing where you could just go up and, like, fill up water, but then they'd have to pay me most of the time, and then if they had problems or the water was out, I had to take care of it.
How did that come about? I've never heard of this combination.
I honestly do not know. I've never asked about the history.
Ridiculous combination. I mean, seriously.
Well, when I saw Wonder Water, I thought, is that like the Kevin Costner movie or something?
Oh, Water World.
Yes, you pee in this cup and then you can drink it.
Yeah.
my own urine. It tastes so good.
Refreshing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so...
If you were thirsty, you would drink it, if you were that thirsty.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean...
I don't think I've ever been that thirsty, though.
Peeing in a distiller thing.
I've been in the desert.
Water has always been readily available, probably.
Not always.
Okay.
I was active duty military stationed overseas in Iraq, so... Not always, but I never got to the point where... You know, I need to drink my own pee or I'm going to die.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's, and thank God for that. But I'm just saying, if you had to, you would, you know.
Well, what he's not mentioning is he didn't drink his own pee.
Yeah, my own pee is just disgusting.
On that note, I think we should call it a wrap, unless you guys have something else to talk about.
I got plenty to talk about, but I don't think I can put that online.
It's gonna go south.
Now that Hash Brown's starting to open up and talk, we're shutting things down.
That's why I don't talk. I start talking, everybody's like, okay, we have to leave.
You end shows.
Did it.
I'm the show ender. I'll give you all a chuckle, give you a reason to keep listening.
We'll have to have you back on, though.
Oh, yeah.
Again. This has been a fun couple of episodes, man.
You know, I do have one further thing I want to say. You know, I remember the old days when I was growing up, you see reruns of these TV shows, like Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, you know. The dad was always the one that knew what was going on, the man. You know, they straightened things out. When Jack Kirby was doing comic books, it was always the men that knew what to do. The women were always kind of subservient. They were afraid. They were scared.
Tread lightly.
You know, I'm stating it how I see. You know, now, when I become a man, I'm growing up, you know, all of a sudden, the guy is the doofus, and the woman is taking care of everything. The woman is smart. If you watch any cartoon, the Powerpuff Girls, look at it. You know, the professor was an idiot. You know, the teacher... You know, the mayor was an idiot. The mayor's secretary was the one smart. There would be nothing get done if it wasn't for the women in the town. Which, I mean, I enjoyed. That was different. But now that is the norm. So you can imagine my shock when my buddy, my podcast brother, starts putting out a really nice comic book called The Mighty Blue. Look it up on mightyblueblogspot.com. And yet, at the same time, if you read the strip, the man is a total idiot. And nothing would get done unless the woman was taking care of it. And as a member of the Y chromosome, I don't appreciate it.
All I have to say
is... he's just writing about his life.
And this is why I wanted to end the show 5 minutes earlier. All I have to say is give it some time. If you're interested in the strip, then things may change. Maybe not reverse, but he's gonna man up, and he's got a major part to play.
If my memory is correct, the opinions were Don's and Don's only.
If my memory is correct, I thought you said you guys weren't going to plug that on the last episode.
If you remember, I did not plug that. That was all Don.
Yeah.
That's not a plug. I did not plug
mightyblue.com. Also, you probably found us on our blog, but if not, you can find all of our episodes on our blog at twodimensionpodcast.blogspot.com. Don's always good about adding pictures and links on every episode so you can read further about what we're talking about. You can also friend us on Facebook. Just keyword us on Facebook under Two Dimension Comics or Two Dimension Podcast. It's one of those two. Don't ask me. I don't know. Thanks for everything, guys. We hope you enjoyed listening to us. We had a blast putting it together. Thank you once again, Hash Brown, for hanging out with us.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
All right, guys. Well, everybody take care. And until next time, take care of yourselves and read more comics.